All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to finally see you. It's been a while, it seems like. But it is good to be back in the Lord's house. And I know we still got many still sick. I started writing things down on my prayer list for today, and I thought, I'm going to miss some people, so I'm not going to name them by name, but we got a lot of sick in our church right now. So do pray one for another. But you're here, and I'm glad. But the main thing is the Lord's here, and I'm excited. So we're looking forward to see what the Lord does for us today. So it is good to see you. Thankful the roads seems like they're clearing up pretty good, so that's a blessing. So just be careful out and about. Just a few announcements. Do remember all of our service. We will not be having service tonight. We, Lord willing, will be having service Wednesday. I hope you'll be here. We're going to be studying the armor of God, and the next part we're going to look at are shoes. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, as they say, but I got so excited seeing some things the Lord let me see. Because you would never think much about shoes, do you? Especially in the battle world. But shoes are so important. So I hope you'll be here Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll get to study through that this coming Wednesday. So do remember that. Again, remember all of our services, Lord willing. We're going to go ahead and say it. We're going to try to do the whole shebang next Sunday. Pray that we can do that. So that's Sunday school, 11 o'clock service, Sunday night as well. So we're praying that way. So I hope you'll pray that way as well. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Poplin's going to come and lead us in a few songs. And then we'll get the message. Father, we sure love you. Thank you again for loving us, Lord. And God, for being so good to your children. God, thank you, Lord, for how you lead us and you guide us, Lord. When, God, it seems like there's so much darkness, so much things around about us, God, that we really can't see. I'm so thankful, God, that you lead. And God, I pray, God, this morning, God, that you'd help each one of us this morning, God, to, as Paul said, die to ourselves daily, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd help us this morning, God, to see you high and lifted up. God, help us to feel your presence. God, I pray that you'd encourage us, God, to continue to press on in these days, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. Of course, in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together and sing.
All righty, everybody stand if you can. Turn to 398. Glory to his name. We're going to do the first, second, and last stanza. 398. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood of. Fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. All righty, one more. you'll turn over to 365. Let me find it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We'll just do the first and last stanza. So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hold for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hold for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. You be seated. Amen. Trust, it's easy to say, but saying it's not what it's about. It's doing it. Trust is doing. So I hope you do trust the Lord this morning. I know we say we do, but it seems like when those things come against us that we don't know how to do or what's going to happen, maybe our trust is a little bit weak, but God's able. And so we praise the Lord for that. Just some quick prayer requests. Again, no bulletin this morning. My wife's at home, or not home. She's at my uncle, or her uncle's house this morning taking care of him. Do pray for Brother Bill and his family. Brother Bill's daughter is fighting cancer and didn't get real good news this week. But as me and Brother Bill was talking, as I did, God's able. And we're not going to quit trusting the Lord, and we're going to ask the Lord's will. But just pray for that family as they go through this time. Lift them up to the Lord, just for strength, for comfort, and just touch her body there. Continue to pray for Jacob and Destiny. Their little one was born this past week. They did have to take it to the NICU. It had some complications, so do continue to pray for them. And then also Brother Hunting, continue to pray for him. Miss Rose, that's Brother Melvin's mother-in-law, Miss Linda's mom. She's not doing well at all. They did take her to the hospital. She's back home now. So do pray for that family. Just give Miss Linda strength there. She's taking care of her. It's good to see Miss Teresa this morning. She had some surgery the other day, so she's doing well, I assume. I hadn't got to talk to her, but it's good to see her. So do continue to pray for Miss Teresa, of course. Found out coming to church this morning, Michelle texted my wife. My wife called me. But Mason was in an accident this morning. Nothing critical. Somebody hit him going through an intersection and shook him up a little bit. So do pray for Mason and family. Thankful it wasn't no worse than it was. So just pray for them, of course, during this. So, and again, a lot of sick, a lot of sick. So, again, these old bodies, they sure ain't much on this side. But I know one of these days, this old body is going to go back to the ground. And one of these days, I'm going to get a brand new spanking body that's never known anything about sin. So looking forward to that day. So, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask His blessings. Again, Luke, pray. Again, I know sometimes we go through these cycles of, you know, sicknesses and weather. It's easy to get depressed. It's easy to get a little discouraged, especially, you know, not getting to come to church like we'd like to and that kind of thing. But just pray. God's that great comforter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He is that great comforter. So I do encourage you, just keep your eyes off yourself, keep your eyes off everything else, and keep your eyes on the Lord. And I promise you, if you're saved this morning, I can tell you 100% that you are on the winning side. And so if you're not saved, you're on the losing side. So I hope this morning you're saved. I hope you're excited about being saved. And I hope you'll be telling people about the Lord. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And then I think Brother Poplin's going to sing the special. Father, we sure thank you. Thank you again, God, for the ability, God, the privilege to come into the throne room, God, this morning, Lord. And God, once again, we come before you needy. God, I thank you, though, most of all, God, that you take care of your children. And God, you meet every need. And Lord, I'm glad that we do have an advocate. Lord, I'm glad this morning we have that intercessor, God, Lord, that one that we can go to. And God, you told us to call unto you, and you would answer me. And Lord, tonight, or this morning, God, we are so thankful. God, we have that line to your ear. And God, I just pray this morning, God, that you'd help me, help us today, God, to look to you in everything that we do. And Lord, help us, Lord, to find our strength, not in ourselves, but God, through you and in you. And Lord, I do pray for these needs this morning. I pray for Brother Bill's family. God, I do pray for his daughter this morning. Lord, I know she's carrying a heavy load this morning, God. I know she's got a lot of things on her heart and her mind. And God, I just pray, Lord, you'd touch her. God, help her, encourage her. God, just comfort there during this time, Lord. And God, we just pray that you touch there. Lord, we do pray for Miss Rose this morning. God, that you'd just be with Brother Melvin and Miss Linda there as they're taking care of her and the needs there. I pray for our sick and our church, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, to continue to touch them. God, just I'd like to see you just take this stuff away from our church family, Lord. And God, let us get back on track of things, Lord. We do pray for Jacob and Destiny and that little one, Lord. We just pray, God, your hand upon there, Lord. And for Brother Hunting this morning, God, we just ask you, Lord, to continue to take care of him, Lord, and his wife there as well. For Brother Miss Poplin, Lord, we just pray for her. God, to continue to help her. She's recovering. God, we thank you, Lord, for taking care of Mason this morning. God, Lord, thank you for building a hedge there, Lord. And God, just touch there and comfort there. And Lord, just again, we sure want to see you today, God. And Lord, we just ask you again to get us out of your way. And God, for you to have your way, Lord. And we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in your name, the precious name of Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Give me one second. I forgot to do something. My wife always reminds me and I forget. It's all I need to be in the middle of singing and this dumb phone go off. But I'm going to ask a question. I was sitting there thinking, and I said, I know I always say something before I sing, but have you ever felt the touch of God on you? I mean, really felt that touch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it has happened with you, but there's been times that I've prayed. I've been so burdened in my heart about something. And I'll go pray, and then all of a sudden it just feels like it's nothing you ever feel anymore because it's, or you ever felt, it's just like waves of almost warmth coming through your body. And you feel that deep, deep settled peace. When we had the virus back in December, and that sure will be a Christmas to remember, I kept praying because people had told me all kinds of stuff. And I'll be honest, I got fearful. I'm not going to lie about it. And I said, Lord, just please take this fear away. And it was just like something inside again, that touch of God just says, you're my child. No matter what happens, you're, and I've talked with the preacher about it. He said, you're okay. You're fine. We're good. So don't worry about these things. And I thought, wow. And I've tried ever since then just to look up to him and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And try to give him thanks for everything. Y'all heard this song over and over, but it's been on my heart, so we're going to just try to do the best we can for the Lord this morning. Hey.
Shackled by a heavy burden, the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now touch me. Lord, he touch me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Thank you, Brother Paul. What a beautiful song. More than that, what a beautiful touch. Amen. As Brother Poppin said, if you've ever been touched, if you've been touched by the Lord, you know you've been touched. Amen. And I'm glad he's touched me for salvation, but I'm glad I can feel his hands upon my life as we go day by day. And I hope this morning you'll let him touch you. And so, amen. All right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being in the Lord's house this morning. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, when you found your place, if you can, and you would, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. Mark chapter 2. Before we read this morning, some of you already know this account, maybe. Got to ask you a question. I figure I know the answer, but I want to ask you because it puts you on the spot. How many of us this morning believe that God can do anything? You believe that? Raise your hand if you do. I want you to testify because it's putting you on the spot. You're accountable. You believe that God can do anything. Well, guess what? I do too. And I know He can. And I've seen God do miraculous things, as Brother Poppin just spoke of. Now, let me ask you this question. As much as I know that God can do anything and everything that He wants and desires, let me ask you another question. Do you believe God can use you? Let's testify. If God can do anything and everything, can God use you? All right. You're accountable. You have witnessed that you say that God can use you. So let's look at that a little bit this morning. Mark chapter 2 this morning. Let's read beginning in verse number 1. And it says, and again, I stopped and thought about that word again. And again. Aren't you glad God just don't stop? Aren't you glad God continues to move and to work? And the Bible says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. You know what would build Gospel Light Baptist Church? If God's people would start making a noise. It was noise that the Lord was in the house. I wonder how many people know that you believe that the Lord was in the house this morning. And so it'll bring people. It'll draw. And straightway, verse 2, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So many little things that we could dive into this morning, these words. But I hope this morning God will help us to draw in on a certain group of people this morning that I believe you and I need to be part of that group. So let's pray and I'll let you be seated. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, again for being so good to us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, God, that leads and guides, Lord. I pray this morning, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to get our minds off of all the things that distract us. Help us to get all of our heart and our mind on this point right now, this service, these words. And God, I pray that you'll speak and move as only you can. And Lord, we pray, God, if somebody this morning, God, that you speak to about their salvation, I pray today, God, would be the greatest day of their life. And Lord, they'll be saved and come to know you as their personal Savior. And Lord, I just ask you again to do it again. And Lord, I thank you for that, Lord, this morning. For us in your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, we started out asking the question, can God do anything? And this morning I know that God can do anything. We find here a great story of an instance that happened in the life of Christ while he was upon this earth. Again, Jesus came back into Capernaum, and when it was noise that he was there, a great multitude of people came to see him and to hear him. And we find here again that during this that there was a group of men that brought a man of palsy to the house where the Lord was. And again, you've heard this, you know the story probably, but I want you to just picture in your mind as when people, as they brought him there, there was people everywhere. That house, I don't know how big the house was, but that house was so big or so full. They were standing at the door. There was no room that they could ever get that sick man to the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. You done testified that God can do anything. Could God have just spoken and healed that man before he even got in front of him? Sure he could have. But God did not choose to do that. And I believe there's a great reasoning behind that. I ask you the question, if God can do anything and everything, can God use you? And we all agreed that God, through God, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ. So we agree that God can use somebody like you and I. So here are these four men carrying this man of palsy upon their bed, or on his bed. They come to this place, and again, they have a desire to get this man to Jesus. He couldn't get in. But they didn't stop, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but we know the story how they climbed up on the roof and tore the roof off of that place to lower that man down before the Lord. Now, again, God can do anything. God chooses to use people like you and I. Again, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, that God chose. This is God's choosing. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Could have God not just said, hear my voice? Could God have just not spoken out of heaven as he had done many times before throughout the Bible? Sure he could. But God chooses not just to use a preacher, because we are all supposed to proclaim the good news. So we're all really supposed to be that trumpet of God. You are God's mouthpiece. You are what God chooses to use to reach the world. Excuse me, look over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we know this story probably as well. We find here Philip and that eunuch that the Lord put in place. As Philip runs to this man, and again, we're talking about God using me. And Philip was brought out of a great revival. God pulled him out of that to send him away from where God was working. But God was not just working there. God put Philip in the right place at the right time to meet this eunuch. So Philip finds him, and the Lord tells him to run and up there and to get with this eunuch. And he begins to, that eunuch is reading. And Philip asks that question, do you understand what you're reading? Now look here with me this morning in verse number 30. And he said, the eunuch said, how can I accept, now notice, some man should guide me. Again, I'm thankful that God is speaking to our hearts. I'm thankful that God, through the Spirit of God, leads us and guides us. But just like this man, this eunuch, he is reading the Word of God. And he's asked the question, do you know what you're reading about? And the eunuch didn't do like most people and lie. He says, no, I don't understand it. And how can I? I don't have a man to tell me. You know what God wants us to be? That man. See, there's a world of people out here this morning that God wants you and I to be a mouthpiece to. God put Philip at that place to talk to that man. Can God do anything? Sure He can. But God chooses to use me, to use you, to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you one other place. Look over in the book of John. Now I know, and I've said it before, and you know, it's, there is truth in it, but it's not all truth. So it can't be truth, I guess. But I've said it, you probably said it, God don't need me. You ever said that? Ever thought that? Can God do anything? He can. Except lie. Can't do that. There are some things that God can't do or won't do. So when you feel like that God don't need you, you're lying to yourself. He might not, you might not, in the right wording, say He needs me, but He chooses to use you. He uses you as an instrument. Just as we find here in Mark chapter 2, just like we find there in Acts chapter 8, and then find here in John chapter 5. Let's look at one more place and then we'll get into the message this morning. John chapter 5, look with me in verse number 7. Here we have this story again. You know this story. It's nothing new. Here's this man that's sick, and he's at the pool of Bethesda, and the Lord's walking through, and the place is full of sick folk. And you know, it's amazing to me why God went to just him. But wait a minute. God did the same thing for me. If you got saved, He did the same thing for you. He came to you. I know He died for the world, but He comes to you personally for salvation. So we find here this man, this sick man, and the Lord comes to him and He asks a great question. Would thou be made whole? Well, that's a dumb question, isn't it? But you know, not everybody wants to be whole. Some people like to lay around in their sins. Some people don't even believe there is a God. But this man's asked the question, you know, from the Lord. Is that not what God asked me to? He came to where I was. Again, I don't even remember that. I don't listen to that much music anymore by no means, but they had that song one time, you know, it was searching for God. Listen, friend, I wasn't searching for God. God wasn't lost. I was the lost one. God came to me. He was looking for me, just like He was looking for you. And He's looking for people today. So He comes to this man and He asks him that question. And then look down in verse number 7. After He's asked, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Listen to the response. The impotent man answered Him, "Sir," notice the next wording, "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." So again, we find here that this impotent man wants to be healed, or he wouldn't have been there. And when the question is presented to him, his answer is, "I have no man." And I wonder how many people today that we come in contact with, that we say hello to, that we call a friend or a family member, how many people today that we know that are lost, that are just like this impotent man? They know they need some help. Can God just speak to them? He can, and He has. He spoke to Paul on the road side there that day. He didn't use a man. But God uses people. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And God can do anything and everything, and God can use you to do anything and everything. So this man says, "I have no man." So let's go back over to Mark chapter 2 real quickly. Let's look at this story with those thoughts in mind. Mark chapter 2 this morning. Now, again, we draw our minds to this story, and again, we find here, again, the key, I guess, picture, besides of Christ, of course, is we find this sick man. And again, this man was sick. He had palsy. He couldn't do anything for himself. He needed help. And friend, today, if you'll think back to when you were lost, that's how you were too. You were sick. You could not do anything for yourself. This man is a great picture of the sinner. Just as in the world today, we look at all the problems, and instead of fixing the problem, we want to fix a situation. See, the problem is sin. The problem is not the dope or the drug addicts or the this or the that. The problem is man and the depravity of man. Sin. Why, that is exactly why, when you look at this story, what did the Lord do first when He decided to do something for this man? What's the first thing He told him? "Thy sins be forgiven." Because that's the main problem. It's not the fact that he could walk or couldn't walk. It wasn't the fact that he could not feed himself or not feed himself. The problem of it all was sin. Because that man could have been saved and not be able to walk. That man could be saved and not be able to talk or feed himself. The problem is sin. So this man here is a great picture of what sin is and what the world is today. People need some help. It amazes me. It saddens me. I've seen pictures. You've probably seen pictures. One that comes to my mind, I think it was in New York City. This guy gets, I think if I remember the story right, he gets hit by a taxi. He's laying out in the middle of the road. And nobody's helping him. People all around there with their cell phones. But nobody was thoughtful enough. Nobody was considerate enough to run out there and help that man. Most people that have a heart or attitude to help somebody, they don't even think about it. When they see it, they automatically step in. They automatically jump in. So it saddens me that you and I, that has a God that could do anything and everything, that would use me and use you, and He does use you and does use me. But there's a world around about us that we're walking around every day. But I'm afraid we don't see the depravity of mankind. Oh, we see sin, the outwardness of sin. We see the problems. We talk about the situations. But let me ask you, when's the last time you, like these four men did for this man, truly cared about people enough that you were willing to go beyond ourselves? It's a sad day that we live in. And it's, again, because of our society, we've got to the place where we're almost scared to help somebody. Now, I don't recommend you picking up people walking down the road. I do not do that. I don't recommend you doing that. But I would hope, and this is more on the physical side, I would hope that if I was in a restaurant and somebody was choking, I wouldn't just punch my wife and say, "Hey, look, that guy's choking," and go back to eating my meal. I hope I have enough decency about me that I would do something to try to help that man. Well, preacher, what if this or what if that? The man's going to die if you don't do something. Well, greater than him choking, there's people that we say we love. There's people that we say are our friends. There's people that we don't even know that are getting this close to dropping off into hell. And God has given me and God has given you the answer to help that person. So we find here this man, a great picture of depravity of man. But then I want us to look mainly at these four men. There's some characteristics about these four men that I believe, if you and I would have a greater sense of these characteristics. Now again, we can lie. Preacher, you mean you lie? Well, the Bible says that all men are liars. So, puts us all in the same bucket, doesn't it? We can lie to ourselves. Well, I'm doing all I can. Well, I've done what I needed to do. But these four men show some things this morning. Again, I don't know a whole lot about these men. God doesn't tell us a whole lot about these men. I believe that three of these men were probably this guy's brothers because he was one of four. Well, who was the fourth guy? I've heard people think, I don't really know. It don't really matter. All that matters is it was four people that God used that day to get this man to Him. And you know what? It's great. Now, sometimes I've been able to talk to people and they get saved right then. But there's some people that I go to and talk to, or you go to and talk to, that somebody else has already plowed a little bit of the ground. They've made a little bit of the row up. And you get to come in a little bit and do a little bit yourself. But these four men, there's some things I want us to look at that I believe would help you and I to be more like Christ and to want to get somebody to the Lord. The very first thing that I think we have to examine this morning about these men is they had a concern. They had a true, true concern. They saw this man in the state that he was in, and they cared enough about him. See, it wasn't about them. They cared enough about that person. Well, preacher, he's sick. He might give him the COVID. Wouldn't it be better to tell somebody about Jesus and die with COVID than to die with COVID and never tell nobody about Jesus? So they had a deep concern. How do you know it was a true concern? Because they put action to their desire. They said, you know, we can help him. I know a man. I've heard of a man that if we could just get him to that man, he could get some help. Well, guess what? I know a man that if I could get somebody to come to that man, they could get the help they're needed. And friend, the problem is not the man here, the sick one. The problem is you and I being the man that will get them to Christ. Can you hear the calls? Can you hear the cry? I can't imagine hearing somebody cry out for help and do nothing about it. Physically. Now there's times that people cry out for help and there's nothing you can do for them. This isn't the situation. These men had a true concern. They cared. They desired. They put it into action. So I believe this morning, if we're going to do anything for Christ, if we're going to truly bring somebody to the Lord, it ought to be our desire. Listen, I don't know how old you are. I don't know how long you've been saved. You're going to stand before the Lord one day. Hopefully, you're going to stand there as a saved person. I hope you're not standing there at the great white throne. But I hope you're standing there at that judgment seat of Christ. Why? Because if you're not saved, you're going to be at the white throne. If you are saved, you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account of what? Not of your sin. We're not? No. Why? Because your sin was paid for at Calvary. So what are we going to give an account for? For what we've done in our body. And I don't say this to hurt you. I don't say this to discourage you. But one of the things that we're going to stand before God with and have to give an account of is what we did with the gospel. I wonder, and I don't know all. I'm thankful that I've had the ability, I'm thankful that God allowed me to be a fisher of men. That I've actually got to reel some in before. I didn't save them. God does the saving. But just as that eunuch and just as that one at Bethesda Pool, God was using a man to point him to Christ. And friend, this morning, God wants to use you. Not to save them, because you can't. All God wants you to do and all that God wants me to do is take that person and get their eyes off of them and get their eyes on the Lord. Then God will do the rest. So we find here their concern. And I can't answer for you this morning. But would you ask yourself and would you let God show you this morning how concerned we really are? It's very easy to not care. I know we got some people that work in the hospitals on different things in here this morning. I'm sure it gets very easy at times because they're people. Dealing with people is not easy. You're trying to help somebody and they won't help themselves. It gets frustrating. It gets complicated. And the same thing about God help letting us. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasurable. But it's still right. So I wonder how much concern. These men had concern. They wanted to get this man to Christ. So they had concern. The second thing I find about these men that I think is needful, that I think we need us to have it. I don't know how far they traveled. It might have been 2 blocks. It might have been 2 miles. I don't know. But they had a concern about this man enough to pick this man up and bear his load and bring him to where Christ was. So there's their concern. But you know, I don't think I would have done what they did. if I didn't believe that God was able to perform a miracle. What do you mean, preacher? They believed in Christ. They truly believed that if they could just get this man to where Jesus was, he could get some help. And you know, I feel like sometimes that this world and this flesh rob us of that confidence that God can truly do that. I don't care who the man or lady is. If we could just get them to cry out to God, God's able to do exceedingly above anything that we could ever ask or think. So they had a true believing that God was able. Well, preacher, how do you know? Excuse me. Look down at verse number 5. Well, let's look at 4. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Look at verse number 5 very closely. When Jesus saw, next word, their faith. Wasn't about the guy they let down. God answered a prayer. God rewarded those men for their faithfulness. I wonder if it's the reason we're not seeing people saved is because our faith isn't where it needs to be. Because of their faith, God did something tremendous. Let me show you something else. We won't turn there, but you know this. The Bible says if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we could see mountains moved. Why aren't we seeing people saved? Why aren't we not seeing God working? Maybe it's because of our faith. Maybe we don't truly believe that God can do that. I know we'll say it. I know we'll come to church and look like it. But it's not about here. There's sick people. Sin sick. All over this world. Do we believe God could save them? So we see their concern. We see their desire. We see their confidence in what God could do. Third of all, this morning about these men. I love to see people work together. I have always been a person that cannot stand back and watch somebody else work. If somebody's trying to do something, I might get in their way, but I'm going to try to help them. Why? Because that's who I am. They had a desire. They had a belief that God could really do this. But they picked up that bed. How many of them were there? 4. Everybody had a corner, right? What if the guys in the front wanted to go left and the guys in the back wanted to go right? What would they be doing? Making a circle, wouldn't they? They had teamwork. They had a central desire. They had a central place they wanted to get this man. And they worked together to accomplish what God had put in front of them. You know what we could see happen if we as God's, the body of Christ, if we would let the left hand and the right hand and the left foot and the right foot work together, we might see something done. But so many times there's such a chaos, there's such a pettiness about, well, you know, it's not about me. Listen, we're all here, believe it or not, for one central purpose. Christ. It's not about me. It's not about my way. It's not about your way. But if we're not careful, we'll act in that way. And we'll never see God do what God really wants to do because we're too busy walking around in circles.
The body of Christ is exactly what it is, isn't it? It's a body. Aren't you glad your left and right hand don't fight each other? That'd be funny looking, wouldn't it? Aren't you glad that when you tell your feet to go that way, it goes that way? And when you tell it to go that way, it goes that way? The body's working together. But let's look at our body, the body of Christ. There's so much, and I'm not saying the local church of Gospel Light Baptist Church, there's some here. But as in a whole, the body of Christ all over this world, there is such a division. There is such a chaos amongst the body itself that we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves to see a paralyzed man get to Christ. So I see their desire. I see their belief. I see their cooperation, or they're working together. And then last of all this morning, and I feel like this one too is such a key. They had a care. They showed that. They picked up that man and literally carried him. They had a desire. They had a belief, because why would they carry him to Christ if they didn't believe he could do something? They were working together because there was four of them carrying this one man. But in the way of that, they came across some pretty big obstacles. You can have a care, and you can have a belief, and you can say you're working together. But so many times we stop about this far from reaching the finish line. What do you mean? We quit. These men didn't quit. Oh, it'd been easy to say, like most people said. They carry this dude, I don't get, you know, he probably weighed 700 pounds. And the four guys carried him probably weighed 70 pounds. You believe they could carry him? Sure I do. I don't know how much you weigh. It doesn't matter. But they literally, physically done something. They carried this man. And I can just, can you picture in your mind a little bit? Now, I know how we are sometimes, but I don't think they were that way that day. You know, we'll complain and murmur and all that. I can't believe they want me to do this. I can't believe. Yeah, yeah. I don't think that was the attitude here that day. I think there was four men and a fifth man in the bed. I believe maybe they were doing some talking going down the road. Hey, buddy, man, when we get you to Jesus, you're going to be all right. Man, look what he did for me. I can just imagine they were that kind of conversations going into that walk as they walked from wherever that man was to where Christ was. And I'm sure there were some hills, and I'm sure there were some creeks and different things that they had to physically overcome. And they finally get to that peak of, oh, the house is just right over there where Jesus is. And they crest over top of that hill to find a mob of people. Now, so many times, we allow things like that to say, what's the use? But that's not what they did. I don't know all the story. I'm just putting some thought into it a little bit. I don't really think they carried that man straight to the roof. I really don't. I believe they probably went to the door. Hey, can you let us in? We got a sick man that we want to get to Jesus. I'm sure they tried their best to press against the crowd. Maybe when they couldn't get in the door, maybe they went on the backside and there was a window. Maybe they tried to get in on the window and they couldn't get the window open. They were persistent. They wasn't going to quit. And finally, they've tried every avenue that they could go. I don't know how it come about. The redneck in the group said, hey, I bet we can put him through the roof. You know, rednecks always have the best ways. Well, man, I didn't think about that. On that note, I read a book. I can't remember the preacher name that wrote it now, but it's called Thinking Out of the Box. You know, so many times we have put ourselves in a box. And we're set to only do what's in the box. Now, that's all right to go to the door. Sometimes going to the door works. Maybe sometimes going to the window works. But see, these men, even though they couldn't get in the door and they couldn't get in the window and they went to the back door and it was full too, they didn't stop. I was like, there's got to be a way. And I don't know who thought of it. But even though it might have just been one of them that thought of it, all four were in tune. They went up on the roof and began to tear this dude. I've always thought of this. I was thinking, I wonder what the guy that owned that house felt like. He's got all these people in his house drinking all of his water and eating his food and using the bathroom and all that mess, making a mess. And then all of a sudden, somebody's tearing his roof off. Somebody owned that house. I know what most of us would have said. Get off my roof! But here they're sitting in there, just crowded. The Lord's in there preaching to these people. And all of a sudden, they start ripping the roof off. More labor. More work. And I I'm not a carpenter by no means, but I know I don't like steep roofs. And I'm just, you know, if that was me and I had to do that, God would probably put one of those 12 pitches on there. It's like, Lord, help, I can't stand on that roof. If God says I can, I could. But they go up there and they start tearing this roof off. And then they got to lift this guy up on the roof. And then they got to tie some ropes and lay him down through that roof. What are you saying, preacher? We've got to have a desire. We've got to have a care. And we've got to really truly believe that God can do, and that He is able, and that He will. And then we got to work together to get to that main goal of what Christ would have us be. What if one guy had quit? What if one of the four would have said, "Y'all go on. I'm done." It happens a lot in churches. People quit. They leave you holding the bag. I hope you ain't that person. Because this man's eternity is in play. It's not about him getting to the doctor per se, even though Christ is the great physician. It's about seeing a man get saved, born again, a child of God. I quit. Y'all go ahead. That left them three guys hanging pretty bad, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm sure. If they think like I would have thought. When Joe said he was bailing out, I would have tried my best to carry both sides. But see, that just makes it hard work because we're not working together. But I would have tried our best. Well, what if two of them quit? Well, I would hope me and Fred would say, we might not be able to carry him, but I bet we can drag him. What if all three of them quit? I might not be able to tote this bed, and I might not be able to drag him, but I bet I can pick him up and put him on my shoulder. There's a way. But it's not always the convenient way. These men were committed. They were not going to give up. They were going to get this man to Christ either through the door, the window, or the roof. I wonder if God would put somebody on our hearts right now. Maybe somebody you know. Maybe somebody you don't know. Maybe somebody you're going to meet this afternoon. And you would have such a desire for that person to get saved that you'd be willing not to quit. Well, preacher, I went one time and they shut the door in my face. Go back again. I've had many doors shut in my face. If Rick Hildebrand was here, he'd tell you his story. Brother Bartlett didn't just go one time. They were committed to continuing to take the gospel. And look what happened. This morning, how committed are we to doing the work of God? Now, those are some things. Again, they had a desire. They had a belief. They had that teamwork. They decided they wasn't going to quit. I've mentioned it. They had opposition, right? Right? When they got to that house, there was people there. Now, again, I'm just thinking. I wonder, when they carried this man up to the door, and there was people there. They were there to hear Jesus. The guy at the front taps that guy and says, "Hey, buddy, will you let us by? We got this man. He needs to see Jesus because he's sick." I wonder if that man would have said, "Oh, okay, let me get out of the way," if we'd have a different story. Or, what if this man turned around and says, "That's my cue, you can't sit there." Because a lot of times we feel like the opposition is out there. Right? But I've found out over the years that sometimes the opposition is not out there. The opposition's in here. What do you mean, preacher? Those people that was in the door, they were there to hear the right person, wasn't they? And sometimes we come here to do our religious thing and we're in the right place, doing what we think is the right way. But maybe there's a sick person that's in our midst and there's something that I'm doing, something you're doing, that won't let them get in front of Christ. It could be a lot of things. I don't pay attention to a lot of things up here while I'm preaching. I don't. Sometimes I see what people do. But my wife will tell you this. She hates sitting in the back. "Preacher, I'm sitting in the back." "You sit wherever you want to." But my wife says she hates to sit in the back because there's so many things distract her. What do you mean? People playing with things in their pew, people, whatever it might be, clipping her toenails, I don't know. You'd be amazed what people do in church. But see, we could actually be a problem and not the help. And I don't think anybody would want to do that. But if we're not careful, we become the opposition. Where we ought to be, "Hey, come in. Come in. Let me help you tote this guy." Instead of saying, "No, this is my spot." Look over in Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1 says this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." What are you saying, preacher? Sometimes if we're not careful, We'll be that guy that stands in the way of sinners. Something that, and listen, I don't say a whole lot about it. The whole service is important. The whole service is important. But there are crucial times throughout a service. One of them is the invitation time. Invitation time is not zip up your Bible and let's go home time. Invitation time is when we extend, which I hope people know that you can come to this altar anytime. But maybe something we're doing is preventing somebody from stepping out of that pew. Well, preacher, if that's all it took, what did it take for you? Sometimes it don't take much to make people just shy away. Maybe somebody's under conviction. God's speaking to their heart. And you get up and go out. What happens? That person no longer is listening to me tell them about Jesus. They've got their mind now distracted on where you're going. See, there are things that you and I, and again, I'm not fussing, I'm just saying, we need to be put this in our minds sometimes. I'll never forget when Ethan was having his major surgery, Dr. Tuning actually took me and my wife into the surgical room to show us how they would be doing the procedure. First time I'd really ever been in a surgical room that I wasn't being put to sleep. And he was talking about how precision this surgery was going to be and how he couldn't be distracted. And he says, just for an example, you see that phone right there? He says, that phone will never ring. But it has a light on it. He says, if somebody needs something, they call and it just makes that light come on. Because if it rang, it might scare somebody or make them jump and he'd mess something up. See, it's not always big things that cause the problems. See, y'all look like I'm fussing at you. I'm not fussing. We're in this thing together. We're one of the four. We're trying to get this guy to Christ. I need you. You need me. But just think. Those guys went to that door. I'm sure that's the first place they went. That's where I would go. Now, I don't recommend going around somebody's house through their window. It's a good way to get shot nowadays, but I'm sure those guys looked around the house trying to figure out how they're going to get this guy into Jesus. We need a desire. We need a belief that God can really do this. We need that commitment that we're not going to quit. And we're just going to press on. Listen. Don't ever get frustrated because I've done it. I've allowed it to come into my life and it bothered me and it made me quit on some things. Always remember, if somebody you go to and you try to give them a track and you really feel like God wants you to give them that track and they say no, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to God. Well, preacher, what if they pick it up and throw it in my face or cuss me out? They're not doing it to you. They're doing it to the Lord. Well, preacher, I've tried and nobody's got saved. How do you know? You might be the guy in the front that's digging a little bit around this thing and tearing up some dirt so that somebody else can come in behind you and do some more work. God can do anything. God can do everything. God can use you. God wants to use you. There's people today, maybe in here, I don't know, but there's people out in this world I know today that Jesus Christ died for them. He wants them to be saved. He don't make anybody do anything. But we ought to have a desire, a burden, a concern. For our for our people. And let's don't quit. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, what's the use? It's easy to say, well, I'm saved. My kids saved. My grandkids saved. It's good. Is it? What a great story. What a great picture. But that's not just for then, it's for now. Let's try to start working together to see if we could do more for Christ in the days ahead. Can't change a thing about yesterday, but we sure can change things about tomorrow. Let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being here. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I don't know what you're thinking about. Don't know what's going through your mind. I really think those guys had watched that man suffer. I really feel like those guys had spent some days around that gentleman concerned. But there finally come a time when they had an answer to his problem, and they were determined that they was going to do whatever it took. They were willing to put out their own selves to get that man to Jesus. What are you willing to give up today? What are you willing to put yourself into if somebody would just come to know Jesus? That's the question. Maybe you're trying. Maybe you're getting a little frustrated. Don't quit. There's going to be opposition, but never from Christ. Some folks have slipped around the altar this morning. I don't know your needs this morning. I just know who can fix your needs. I'll pray with you, pray for you, but only God can give the increase. Brother Poppin, if you would, sing a verse or two. As the Lord speaks to your heart this morning, would you just mind the Lord? Let's get some tracks and hand them out today. Let's get some tracks and take them with us this week. It might just be what somebody needs. Oh, I've been some places before that I want to give somebody a track, and I've done give them everybody's out. And I start digging. I know there's some more tracks in this car somewhere. As he sings another verse this morning, you just mind the Lord. Believe this morning God can? I do. I believe God can bring revival back to America. Oh, preacher, that'll never happen. How do you know? Excuse me, is anything too hard for God? Of course not. Let's go sing one more verse, and folks are still praying this morning. Maybe we're not seeing revival because we don't think God can give us revival. Maybe we're not seeing revival because we're not concerned. Maybe we've allowed something to make us just want to sit down and quit. Let's don't. Somebody's eternity is at stake this morning. Boy, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm excited to know I'm going to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. But what about somebody else? Miss Karen's going to play just a little bit longer this morning. We're not rushing people. As she plays, would you let God just speak to your heart this morning? Would you let God just talk to you a little bit? Maybe you need to be like Isaiah this morning. Isaiah showed the Lord, or the Lord showed Isaiah the need. And Isaiah said, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Could you say that this morning? "Lord, I'm here. Would you send me? Let me help carry the part of the load. Let me do my part." Carry. Maybe you're starting to struggle a little bit with the load. Maybe one of us brothers or sisters ought to step in there and help carry our part. This isn't just my job. It's not just your job. It's our job. I have a place. You have a place. We have a part. It's the reason the Bible tells us that we ought to bear one of those burdens. I'm not going to just stand there and watch somebody struggle. If I can help pick it up, if I can help bear the load, I want to do that. Physically and spiritually. The Lord's working. What about this morning? There's some things that we need to tear down. There's some things that we need to get out of the way so we can pray. There's some things we need to tear down so we can actually be that ambassador for Christ. Oh, they'd tear that roof down. See, if we're not right with God, we'll never be able to lead anybody else to the Lord. You picture that man. I don't know how long he laid in that bed. I don't know what the real condition was. Just know he needed some help. See, it's not about if he was a murderer or a thief. That's not what's going to send him to hell. Men, if you would, this morning, Brother Bill's down here. I know he's got a heavy heart. If you, some of you men would slip up here this morning, just pray with Brother Bill. He's got a burden. Somebody needs to help bear. Would you be one of those that would help bear the burden today? That's his daughter. Could be my daughter. Miss Karen continues to play this morning. I'm not counting God out. I still believe God can. In spite of me, I believe God can. You just mind the Lord today. Oh, it's wonderful to see the body of Christ working together. Sometimes my mind goes back to when I got saved. Oh, I remember the classroom I was in. I remember the teachers that I had. I remember the pastor that knelt down beside of me. But see, that wasn't the whole story. See, I had a grandma and a grandpa that loved the Lord. I had a mom and daddy that saw the importance of getting me in the house of God, keeping me around the things of God. I had teachers prior to that that loved me and tried to teach me the truth. See, this morning, you never know who's at work. You never know who's been by there before. Oh, it's ultimately the Lord that does it all, but He chooses to use you. He chooses to use me. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope you'll be safe going home. Still are some little slick spots, especially the way I came through the country. Just be careful. Do continue to pray one for another. Remember all those on the that we mentioned this morning that need a prayer. That's just a drop in the bucket. I hope you have some prayer time. Hope you spend some time alone with the Lord and just pray. And do remember our church family, of course. And be ready. Look for something to do. As long as they're sick people, there's always something to do. Till the Lord comes, there'll be something to do. So, amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, no service tonight. Lord willing, please be praying. We'll be here Wednesday night and then be regular scheduled next Sunday. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure thank you again, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for your Spirit. God, how you lead, how you guide. God, thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give your children to be able to do. And Lord, we just ask you this morning to help us. God, as the psalmist said, examine me, O Lord. God, this morning, would you examine us? Lord, I know. God, we all have things that we're ashamed of, things that, Lord, is in our lives that we wish wasn't. Help us to die to those things. God, help us to give them to you. And Lord, help us to be aware. God, not just of the loss that's around about us, but help us be aware of our brothers and sisters. God, they're carrying loads. They're working, God, and maybe we need to just step in there every once in a while and give a little helping hand. And Lord, we just thank you again for loving us. Thank you for all you do. And God, just again, we praise you. We glorify you for the good gifts that you give your children. And it's in the name of Christ we do pray. Amen. God bless you. Hope to see you Wednesday.